You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Guidepost. We got me and Cody here today, and this is going to be another one of those public comment guideposts. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of the redfish hearing that was on Thursday, but we want to set that up and have y'all take a listen to the comments, and I think you'll be able to pick out our people who supported three fish and the other side relatively easy. I'd like y'all to note the comments made by the of counsel, the attorney for LDWF during the meeting. And I think what you're going to find is it's like the same everywhere. With the conservation versus the non-conservation comments. We made one of those striper bullshit bingo cards, and I don't think we'd have to change it a lot if we were to make a redfish bullshit bingo. It was shocking. However, what you're going to hear is a community that is in the first year of coming together that, in my opinion, I've never seen anything like it. From people going from caring but not knowing how to get it done to being expert advocates and witnesses and being able to go toe-to-toe with anyone on these issues. I have to note that we absolutely kicked ass in the sheepy tournament under what many said were the worst conditions ever in the 13-year history of the tournament. But we're going to get into that in another podcast as well. But let me tell you something, in a 40-mile-an-hour wind, when you come tight to one of those little things, it gives you meaning in life, Cody. and team one of Cody and Nick from ASGA pulled out a fish with like 30 seconds left on the timer and were able to launch themselves into second place. And I was so happy for them. You know, it was the meeting, prep for the meeting was a grind. We kept that same brand ethos going for the tournament because we were grinders. There was no glory. It was laser focus and grind. So Cody, you want to add anything to all this?
Yeah. Well, big shout out to Bailey and Ty, because the fact that we even saw fish and even had the chances that we did in the conditions we did. I mean, I think a handful of the boats launched on day one and like an hour in, they were like, yeah, F this, we're done. So big shout out to those guys. They're super gritty. And I think what you said, the translation of their persona of how they fish, what they do to get the bite, and how that's translating into how they look at their fishery and what they'll do to protect the future of it. A lot of similarities and parallels there. The redfish meeting in general. Yeah. You know, it's almost like, it's like a new version of the same play. You know how they got like different, Jersey boys and different productions will put them on at all the different states or whatever, and they might be a little bit different, and the directors might put a little twist on a character or some add some funny topical lines or whatever, but the story's the same. This is how it plays out, and these are the people, and these are what they say. Generally, this is the plot. It was a striper meeting with a slightly different twang to the voices involved and slightly different data, but largely a lot of the same quote unquote BS. And I think we're definitely going to have to make a striper bullshit bingo card. We're going to have to make one for Redfish, honestly, because like you said, it's not going to take me that much time. Probably going to have to change about 6 words. But when you listen to the public comment here, we're going to put the audio just from the public comment. You might hear a couple questions from commissioners in there, depending on how I chop it up. But we're not going to put the decision and the management action into this. That'll be kind of its own separate discussion and its own episode. But this episode's to focus on the public comment, because there's something to be said for learning about how this process happens. And one of the things, you know, we actually really support the department down there, even though the commissioner decisions did not align with our goals on this specific action in recent months and recent years. They have, and there's some brilliant scientists involved. One of the things you'll hear from the other side in these discussions is these guys is telling you the science is wrong. You're going to hear so many guys say how smart and effective these scientists are and how they're putting the writing on the wall in beautiful, clear vision, and how you'll hear decisions that are made in, you know, in opposition to that great science. So we support the scientists down there, and you're going to hear a lot of the same things, but there's something to be said for amplifying this process. I actually went to grab the audio from this and found that these YouTube videos are unlisted. So if you're not dialed in the know, which a lot of these conversations and these meetings for all species happen, quote unquote, with people in the know, and our goal as an organization, as an association, has been to amplify when these things are happening. If you follow ASGA and you don't agree with us, the best thing you could do is follow ASGA just so you know when everything's happening. And then you could go speak in opposition to us, right? So the whole like, oh, we didn't know this was happening, or these meetings are inconvenient, you don't even have to agree with us, and you could benefit from our efforts to amplify when these things are happening. And I think these type podcasts, we did this for the Albee decision. We got a lot of great messages and saw discussion on other forums and social and message boards about what happened. You know, the next 30 minutes is just a intro into that 6-hour meeting that you couldn't take a day off, or you live across the country, you want to hear what's going on. That's what these episodes are. This is a short and sweet, as short as we can, summary of the public comments. Look for future episodes that are a dive into the actual management decision. But I want to end our little intro here with a big shout out to all the people that showed up. By my count, I think it was 23-12 in favor. And you'll hear a couple short comments and one or two with maybe a little off-center comments. But that being said, you're going to be able to tell our guys are focused on the science, focused on the future of the fishery, focused on their businesses. There was no clapping, screaming, jarring from the crowd like there were on the other side. So big shout out to all the same guys who keep showing up. They keep showing up every single time that we've been to one of these or tuned in by Zoom. Same 20, 30, 40 guys always in the room. Big shout out to these guys. And without further ado, here's the public comment from last week's Louisiana Commission meeting.
Mario Campo. There's a lot of us here for public comment. Please remember we were going to limit this to, what is our time limit, Paul? 3 minutes? 3 minutes. You're on the clock, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and commissioners. Thank you for your time this morning. I'm going to simply reiterate a letter that I sent to you guys earlier in the week, because I don't think it hurts hearing it twice. With respect to y'all's background, y'all garner a sound understanding of the interpretation of data. In regards to the amended Red Drum NOI, a general idea suggested for the state of Louisiana's Red Drum fishery that has raised concern for a good reason. Overfishing is not suggested, but a significant decline in Louisiana's overall Red Drum population is observed. Despite publication of the study being 2 years prior to the current regulation process, legitimacy should not be taken from the study's results, but rather an understanding of increased percent error, which I'd like to say goes both ways. Concurrently, management for the menhaden industry has been an increasingly pressing topic. Negative environmental impacts inflicted upon Louisiana's coastal ecosystems from such operations are evident, which has ignited unwavering public support for management propositions. Although enforcing such regulations, such as the coastal buffer zone for upon the menhaden industry, is a step towards conservation, it should be duly noted that one practice alone cannot restore or conserve an ecosystem as a whole. An ecosystem is based upon the interactions of organisms and their environment, which elicits the idea that positive interaction of management practices is required to progress the state of that environment's conservation. In order to restore, protect, and conserve the red drum and many other inhabitants of coastal Louisiana's ecosystem, it begins with the implementation of cohesive management practices. Based upon the suggested data of the stock assessment and NOAA studies of reduction in recreational harvest of red drum, along with the reduction of menhaden harvest via the buffer zone, will promote a significantly healthier coastal ecosystem with greater game fish biomass. In regards to the red drum NOI, the proposed 3-fish creel limit with a slot of 18 to 27 inch with no over is suggested to provide the most substantial recovery of the fishery compared to other creel and slot combinations still in consideration. Given circumstances, the virtue of pick and choose is no longer available, but rather we now live in a time of give and take. In the realm of management, factors are rarely optimal, and regulation criteria are developed to balance the best interests of the resource and the person. Please do not allow cryptic persuasion or opportunity of self-gain to convolute the fragile balance of ethics. The implementation of such management practices is the best available opportunity to serve the state's resources and people. I urge that your decisions be made for the best interests of our state, promoting a sustainable future for our coastal ecosystems. Thank you.
Thank you. Ty Hibbs.
How y'all doing? Ty Hibbs, born and raised South Louisiana angler and redfish guide. So I'd like to start by saying, I hope y'all first, fully understand not only the science, but also the gravity of the issue at hand. This will definitely be one of the biggest decisions ever made in the past 30 years and in the next 30 years in this building. You know, Mr. Wall, you have in your commissioner bio that you were part of the largest, most successful conservation story with the issue of alligators. I'd have to say that this is as big, if not bigger. And today, we have historic levels of alligators, and here's our chance to do the same with redfish. Mr. Segura, you've been quoted in the past couple of meetings, saying, let's just, not kick this can down the road. And you wanted to just go with what the committee recommended, which I agree with, especially today in the fact that we can do this right now and not kick it down the road another 3 months and have to go through the process yet again. And as Mr. Blanchard has said before, y'all are on the commission to do what's best for the fishery and make a difference for future generations, as many of y'all have said that at meetings and bios and other media outlets. But we went to that meeting at the oversight committee, and there was an overwhelming support for the last NOI of 18 to 24 inches, 3-fish, in which 32 people spoke in favor of and 9 spoke against. They've decided to choose kind of as they did beforehand and go against the public's opinion. Don't let this place become, a place of agenda first and fishery second. It's about the fishery. The public has put far too much faith in y'all in the past year, and we just can't have the first move as a move against the public and against the science. I always tell people, and I've told y'all many times before, this department has provided us with the best and most accurate data that has been seen across the entire nation in recent years. The department saw the flaws of the federal system and decided they would stray away from that and create their own system of LA creel. I'm sure y'all know about LA creel. And that of last summer has now been proven as MRIP has failed the feds and how they do some of their fishery science. The Department of Wildlife Fisheries went with La Creel, and now we have multiple states that are modeling off of La Creel because they have seen how accurate and how good our biologists are. That's how impressive that this department has been in recent years. And I hope that we continue to be on top of the world in fishery science like that. But I hope y'all make a well-informed decision on it and don't let anything influence your decision for the wrong reasons. This is a monumental day for redfish, and I'd love nothing more than to celebrate the people who made a brave and right decision. That's a proactive decision for future generations and keep this place the greatest fishery on earth as it has been for years to come. But I was born and raised here in South Louisiana. This is my home. This is my son's home, as well as millions of others of the future generation. Do what's right for them, do what's right for redfish. And as I always say, this place is the redfish capital of the world. Don't let me see the day it becomes less. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Jeff Arnold.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Jeff Arnold. I'm a charter captain from Hopedale, Louisiana. I'm here again as I was every other time, including the Senate oversight meeting that this NOI has come up for discussion. Each time I've lost a day's wages, so I've personally invested a fair amount into fighting the good fight. I support the NOI at the three fish limit, a 30-year recovery that some want is just too long. I urge the commission to do what is right for the fishery and not the politicians. Stand your ground and keep the NOI as it was voted in already once. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we have Andrew Jones.
My name is Andy Jones, and I'm a guide out of Hopedale and Beerus. I'm here again on behalf of the redfish populations of Louisiana and the future generations of anglers to come. I think my only question for you guys would be is, do you have kids and grandkids? Everyone here? Is that true? It's like, why would we not do the three redfish limit and, you know, have more fish out there for those kids in the future generations? I support the NOI. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Bailey Short.
Good morning. Bailey Short. I know y'all see me up here for all these other redfish meetings. So hello again. I just want to be clear that everybody understands that today we made a massive decision for the future of this fishery and redfish in this state. After me, you are going to have presentations and testimonies from people on the economic side of this and the impacts that this is going to have on this state, the amount of money that this state is going to be losing while we don't reach a target SPR. And I also want to call into attention that in the presentation you just received before we got up here to talk, there was a discussion about public comment on being against or for the three fish NOI. There was 145 to 65 in favor of a more aggressive NOI that was put down in the Joint Oversight Committee. That's pretty overwhelming to me when you look at those numbers. And it was like, I think, seven people in the potpourri hearing. So I think this issue is bigger than just looking at that potpourri public comment. The three fish NOI is something that we worked on for a long time. I know all of you guys saw us up here. We were fighting for this. We talked about it for a long time. You guys voted through two NOIs, one that was more aggressive than this and this one. To go back to four fish as quickly as we did is foolish, in my opinion. And we need to really consider the weight that this is going to have over the next generation's worth of time on anglers in this state. 20 years is a generation, and that's the kind of decision we're making today. So when we are back up here in a few years and the redfish stock has continued to dwindle and we have to look at more draconian and aggressive measures, we can think back to this day when we could have done a pretty reasonable compromise in a lot of people's eyes. The Joint Oversight Committee was not going to call a hearing on this, was not going to shoot it down. It was going to go through. The three fish, 18 to 27, with a 17.5, as you can see right there, spawning potential ratio recovery and a 3.5 escapement rate, was a good middle ground. But here we are going on a longer timeline with shakier science. You heard the biologists themselves say the longer out that we go on this, the shakier those forecasts get. So every year that you add on to that, that decision is more and more unclear if we made the right one today. So I just want everybody to think about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Devin Denman.
Members of the commission, thank you for having me. My name is Devin Denman. I'm an inshore angler from Slidell. And once again, I find myself in this room in support of lowering the redfish limit to three per angler with a slot of 18 to 27 inches, no harvest over 27 inches, and no guide limits. We must lower the redfish limit to conserve what we have today for tomorrow. I believe that the three fish limit is important to help the redfish stock recover to its previous level in a period of time that won't amount to decades, a much better choice than the four fish limit that's been floated. I personally feel that this is because redfish are too valuable to only be caught once. Ideally, it would be nice to have four or even five redfish to keep and eat. But unfortunately, things have not been ideal. Our coast saw record river flooding for 10 years that dramatically altered the habitat used by speckled trout and redfish to spawn. Consequently, the speckled trout population took a hit, and we did the right thing and lowered the limit for them. However, the damage done to redfish was a double whammy, as anglers who normally fish speckled trout shifted their focus to redfish. The redfish spawn was also negatively affected by the record flooding, and the added fishing pressure of additional angling effort only hurt them worse. The best thing we can do is reduce the number of redfish we throw on ice on each fishing trip to 3 per angler in a slot of 18 to 27 inches with no overs. This is a better option than 4 fish because it will get our stock back to previous levels within a much shorter time frame, with a much shorter time frame that won't amount to decades. 16 years instead of nearly 30 years. Leaving the stock to recover in 30 years is irresponsibly leaving too much to chance. Let's do the right thing for our kids and our grandkids. Let's not kick the can down the road any more than what we already have. Instead, let's do the right thing for the fish, for our heritage, for our future. After all, people enjoy catching redfish more than they do talking about how they used to catch them or eating them on a dinner plate. Members of the Wildlife Commission, I thank you for your time and consideration. That concludes my comment.
Thank you. Miles LaRose.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm Miles LaRose, full-time guide in St. Bernard Parish, tackle shop owner and president of Gulf Coast Watermen. And I think Commissioner Blanchard nailed it. I mean, we just need to do something. And the sooner we can get it done, you know, make a real difference. I think we really need to think about that. And I also want to bring up that the fisheries recommendation, they also apologized for that recommendation at one of these meetings. You guys were there. They felt that it was all they could get through, but it sounded like they really wanted to do more. To hear them go back and say that this is their recommendation and kind of put that hard on us, I think it's, I just think it's wrong. I think you guys know what's right, and I think we just need to do what's right. So I support 3 fish. I think we need to get it done as soon as possible. And again, not kick the can down the road. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Tony Frederick.
Chairman, commissioners, thanks for the opportunity to speak. My name is Tony Friedrich. I am the president and policy director for the Guides Association. A lot of the guides you've seen here are part of our group. We're a science-based organization that believe in better business through conservation. This commission desperately needs to fully embrace the impacts of this decision, not only on fishermen, but to every small business that relies on a healthy resource. When we said at the beginning that 35% is the bare minimum, it's not conjecture. If the reduction does not meet 35%, the spawning potential ratio never goes back to target in the time series. The time series goes out to 2065. Fishery science is not an exact science. This thing, 36%, you are threading a needle. And I want y'all to be aware of that. If these projections miss on the bad side by a little bit, spawning potential ratio never goes back to target in the time series. The recruitment of redfish, how many are spawning, for the last 10 years are an all-time low. In 8 of the last 10 years, Louisiana anglers have removed more redfish than have spawned. Projecting any fish stock over a period of 10 years, fool's errand. You can't do it. Would you look at a weather forecast 2 weeks from now and base your trip on it, or would you look at a couple of days out? It's the same thing. Again, not an exact science. The other thing is we're fully aware that redfish are based on escapement, but there's a stock recruitment relationship. That means how many big fish are in the system directly reflect how many little fish are made. So you're not going to have a good spawn until you get the spawning potential ratio back to target. And understand that escapement is a ratio. It's just a percentage. The SPR is a hard number. It's physically how many fish are in the system. It is a number. It is not a percentage. Would you rather have 30% of 10,000 or 30% of 1,000,000? I'm gonna go with 1,000,000. In going over the July commission hearing, I found some interesting comments. And Commissioner McPherson, this was on trout, said, you know, here we have a proposal before us today that's not based on science, defined as the recovery of speckled trout population in a reasonable period of time. Did I say that correctly? And that was directed to Mr. Adrian, who gave the presentation. Mr. Adrian responded, 10 years is not our preferred recovery for trout.
Commissioner Reynolds, who isn't here today, this, I love this quote. If this thing goes to, this is on trout as well. If this thing goes to hell in a handbasket, the fingers are going to be pointed up here and all the negative comments are going to be to the department and the legislature. I'm hearing all sorts of things from the guides. We're having all these things thrown at us. The goal is to make our trout population be recovered. We aren't on the same page on how we get there. There's going to be some sacrifice on everybody's part if you want to catch some trout 10 years from now. Trout spawn at 11 months. Redfish spawn at 6 years. Why is 10 years not acceptable for trout? And 26 years is okay for redfish. Fisheries policy in general, and I work with every state on the East Coast, should be a transparent, inclusive process. And that doesn't seem like that's going on right now, but it could change this instant. The state has one of the best wildlife agencies in the country. I work with quite a few of them. We've enjoyed working with LDWF, and we hope to continue the collaboration. And you've also been blessed with natural resources that are second to none. It would be an absolute sin to waste both of those assets. What you have before you with the three fish was the compromise. It was passed by this commission. And if a compromise is good enough for trout and it's good enough for menhaden, why wouldn't the compromise be good enough for redfish? What's your risk policy? Because projecting those stocks out almost 30 years is an enormous amount of risk. And then when you think about habitat loss, storms, potential cold kills, hundreds of years of bad water management, 30 years, it isn't risk. It's almost borderline, you know, it's a little irresponsible. You have a constitutional duty to manage this resource as commissioners, and you have the power in this one decision to change generational futures. One small vote will affect so many people, a massive ripple effect. We just want you to understand that. I sincerely thank you for your time, and please vote for the three fish.
Thank you. Next, we have Ben Meadows.
Someone who grew up fishing the marsh in Louisiana around Leeville and then often tried to skip practice while playing college football for Coach O, the bayou has always held my heart and mind. Even though I now reside in Alabama, I consider Louisiana red fishing to be the crown jewel of Southern angling. Recently, when other organizations and anglers sounded the alarm about the state of red fishing in Louisiana, I was intrigued. When the last conversation happened and people shrugged off economic arguments, I was annoyed. As someone who got their PhD in economics and studies natural resource management, Louisiana has one of the world's finest red fisheries and one of the most valuable ones at that. Using data obtained from the ASGA, as well as prevailing market prices for four hire charters in Louisiana, it's easy to establish that the marsh fishery here is worth hundreds of millions of dollars a year, $311 million to be exact. In natural resource economics, I often encourage my students to consider biology as a business concept, and I'd encourage us to do that here. Louisiana's redfish population could be considered as the principal, right? You have money in account that's sitting there. When redfish spawn and they make redfish babies, that can be considered as your interest. As others have pointed out recently, more harvests have happened than interest has accrued on the account, so the account is declining. What we need to do is ensure that that account is sustainable. The monetary valuation, according to the calculations I've done from the economics, show that this red fishery is decreasing at around $1 to $4 million per year. Thus, the policy being debated here, three or four fish, I know it sounds like one marginal fish, and I'm an economist, so I think a lot about margins, seems like a simple choice. This is actually clear and simple economics. If you reduce the creel to three and allow the fishery to recover, that restores the resource and the monetary valuation for Louisiana in the quickest time possible as presented. Now, some have floated that this would be a competitive disadvantage to Louisiana tourism because it would essentially equate creel limits across state lines, but I think we need to use clear economics again. Folks come and visit Louisiana, as my grandfather took me, for the best red fishery in the world. They don't come here just to slaughter fish. They come here to experience one of the best natural ecosystems in the world. And so by not taking care of that, you can actually throw the baby out with the bathwater and lose both. Lose the world's best red fishery and not allow people who are so, you know, focused on filling their creels. I'm happy to advise any questions or comments about the economics here, but restoring the economic investment for Louisiana is not only a prudent choice, but it's the right choice. Thank you all.
Thank you. Lynn Cormier.
Thank you, gentlemen. 36 years ago, I was a member of a young organization called CCA Louisiana on the state board. We had just outlawed purse seines, and we were fighting an uphill battle to get game fish status for redfish. So I went to my dad, who's one of the most recognized outdoorsmen in the state of Louisiana, whose reputation is far and wide, and asked for his help. And he, like many others, came through, and we got it passed. And he said something that was very prophetic at the time after the bill was passed. He said, someday redfish will be as important a sport fish as bass is today. And if you think about it, he was right. If this was bass, we'd be fighting hard as hell to keep those fish to recovery as quickly as possible. But we have a different mindset, sadly. I've seen the decline in the last 8 years in places I fish that aren't affected by river water and not affected by coastal erosion. They're as pristine today as they were 30 years ago. I'm seeing a lot fewer redfish. It's been progressively getting worse. What I have seen is a lot more anglers, a lot more boats, a lot more kayaks. We have a people problem. Yes, we have a menhaden problem, a freshwater diversion problem, and a coastal erosion problem. But we've doubled the number of anglers since this regulation, current regulation, was put in place. And the only way you can fix that is re-regulation, like we're talking about now. And are we going to cap the number of saltwater anglers we have right now? Because that's what we're going to have to do if we pass a four-fish NOI. Now, I've heard some rumors lately about maybe we could build a hatchery. And I've been involved in conservation for 40 years. I've gone across the country, participated in forums, and talked to some biologists and so on. And hatcheries always come up. Here's the bad news about hatcheries. They're a poor recruiting tool, poor tool for spawning recruitment. Texas stocks 20 million fingerlings a year. Only 2% of those get to the spawning stock. So that means that if you're counting on this four-fish limit and a hatchery, you're going to reduce that number of years of 29 to maybe 26 or 25. That's still not as good as 17. I urge this commission to keep the three-fish NOI in place. Thank you very much.
Thank you. George Ann Peters.
My name is George Ann Peters. I'm a Louisiana native, lifelong resident, and a lifelong angler, recreational angler. I've spent the past 10 years since I retired as an assistant district attorney vigorously fishing with a fly rod for redfish. In those 10 years, I have seen the population decline, and I've fished all over the south part of Louisiana. I urge you to keep the three fish NOI in place. This is important for me, for the few years that I have left to fish, but it's incredibly important for my grandchildren who have another 60 or 70 years to fish long after I'm gone. Appreciate your consideration.
Thank you. Paul Knapp.
Morning, gentlemen. My name is Paul Knapp. I'm a fisherman here in Louisiana. We also have a small business that caters to people fishing in the marsh. I just ask that you would be a leader, that you would make the state of Louisiana a leader in how to restore these redfish. The proof is in the pudding for all the information that you've received, how this is declining. Let's be a national leader in restoring this. I'm here for the three fish limit. Thank you.
Thank you. Nick Velas.
Hi, good morning. I'm Nick Velas from Youngsville, Louisiana. I am born and raised in Louisiana, went to LSU after spending some time in Florida and in Georgia. And I'm in favor of this NOI. During the Menhaden NOI, y'all gave it back to the people to figure out the CCA and the two POGI companies, because y'all said we did not have the science yet of the bycatch studies. But here we do have the science. And it's embarrassing for y'all to want a four-fish limit when the science here says we can recover faster. So please consider that. Please consider our fishery, the redfish capital of the world. Let's keep it best. Thank you.
Thank you. Christopher McAdams.
Thank you, members of the commission, for listening to me today. I'll keep it short. I'm 70 years old for all intents and purposes. I live here in Baton Rouge. For me to go fishing down to Delacroix or Shell Beach, it's expensive to get down there. Once I get down there, I buy shrimp, I buy bait, I buy ice, whatever I need. And then to go out for a three fish limit, it's getting to where it's not worth my time to go fishing. I think the thing that's going to make the biggest difference rather than a three fish limit is raising the minimum size from 16 to 18, because that 16, I can't tell you how many times I get on a pile of 15 and a half inch redfish. But we got to save our fish. I agree with that. I was pleased to hear that the NOI was going to go with a four fish limit rather than a three fish limit, which is certainly a reduction. I mean, if it's that bad, as I'm not a guide, I don't go out there every day, and I don't have a business to run. But if it's that bad, perhaps we should consider a two fish limit or one fish limit like other states on the coast have. But for me, I'm happy with a four fish limit. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Harold Baglia.
Commissioners, people, I started fishing saltwater fish in 1979 because I'd rather eat specks and reds than bass. So around 90, I started guide. And I'm not into trophy fish. I like to fish for something to eat. So I think that y'all have taken care of the elephant in the room by keeping the pogie boats off the beaches. That's going to help this situation greatly. And it's going to alter all these projections that y'all made. And I think y'all need to reevaluate a lot quicker than 5 years. So with the proposed changes, I have no problem with not keeping a bull. They're not that good to eat anyhow. I don't keep them, and I urge my customers not to. Just take a picture, give it a kiss, throw it back, let it make some more good-eating size fish. As far as the quantity reduction, 20% is better than 40%. So I agree more with the four fish. But the one that hurts the worst is that minimum size increase. It hurt us a lot with the specs, and it's going to hurt a lot with the reds. Now, I like to fry my specs. I like to blacken my reds. Now, a 16-inch red is almost too big to blacken. But 18 inches, I'm going to have to buy a bigger pot just to cook my fish. So as far as the bulls, no problem. As far as the 20% reduction, hey, we can live with it. But don't increase the minimum size. And that's my humble opinion. IMHO.
Thank you. Please hold any comments or clap it until the end of the presentation, please. Mr. A.J. Rosenbaum.
Gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is A.J. Rosenbaum. I'm a lifelong resident of Southeast Louisiana. I am the president of the Gulf Coast Council of Fly Fishers International, national board member, and president of the New Orleans Fly Fishers Club. I would just encourage you to please follow the science. We are here and have the opportunity to do something really great for the state of Louisiana, for the future of our redfish populations, and for our grandchildren and generations to come. So FFI, the Gulf Coast Council of FFI, and fishermen from across South Louisiana encourage you to please adopt the three fish limit. Thank you for your time.
Jeremy Cable.
Thank you. I am here today because I'm against the proposed changes to the redfish regulations. Personally, I can't stand public speaking, but I felt that it was important today to be here, so I'm going to suck it up and do it anyway. I make my living out on that water. I have for several years now. I plan to for many years to come. I've got a lot of fishing left in me. My kids will fish out in those waters, and I don't see any issues. I've been seeing good numbers, improving numbers, especially over the last several years for my area. We've taken a lot of hard hits recently with hurricanes and dealing with COVID and our business for that as a charter captain. These changes, I feel, would severely impact my business negatively, and probably in a lot more ways than both those did. We've had to completely rebuild after complete and total loss from hurricanes. We've done it, and I staked my business on the redfish population that I've been seeing. If I thought that the redfish population was declining, it's probably not something that I would have done. There are many issues in Louisiana marshes that need to be addressed. This council and everybody has made a lot of great strides. I just don't find that the redfish population is one that needs to be addressed. Thank you.
Excuse me. What area do you fish in?
I fish out of Cocotree.
Ron Price.
Hi, my name is Ron Price. I own and operate one of the largest lodges down in Venice, Louisiana, which is pretty much redfish capital of the world. I've been a charter captain for over 25 years. 95% of our charters target redfish. I'm either living in the twilight zone or I'm a really good fisherman because I'm not seeing what they're talking about. If anything, right now, redfish seems to be on the rise because we're catching more redfish now than I did back in 96. Environmental conditions play probably the largest part in most of our fisheries. We've had a couple years of low river now. But before that, we've had many years of a high river, and that did affect the numbers. But you're fixing to see these fish explode. We're already seeing it. The shrimp boats aren't shrimping because they flooded the market with import shrimp. So the shrimp boats have all been parked. So that's one factor no one's taken into consideration. We've had some historically low river levels, and all that's going to contribute to an explosion in fish. And they're jumping the gun on something that I'm not seeing, and they're taking a hatchet to this redfish limit. You don't have to implement all these things they're trying to do at once. I'm not against the conservation part of it. You know, I've got a lot invested, as much, if not more than anybody. I'm handing my business down to my son, which guides for me. It's very important to me that these redfish are sustainable. I would not be up here arguing to try to keep something more than what they're proposing. And I'm not against taking away the bull redfish. If you talk to 95% of the guides in Venice, everyone's okay with that. That's going to help. You know, taking away the guide limit is going to help. You're going to have several factors in play here that none of us would even be at these meetings fighting for right now if they would just stick with something more basic and simple and logical. You're getting way too aggressive with these approaches, and I feel like there's special interest groups over here to my left, the people that want to catch and throw fish back. Well, that's fine. Practice what you want, but you're making up something that's not there. Are the numbers down a little bit? Maybe they are. But environmental is going to control that and bring it back into play. The five fish, redfish limit has worked really well for how many years now? If you talk to almost every inshore captain that fishes to keep redfish, most good captains are limited out by 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning every single morning with no problem. So how is that possible if all of a sudden, well, we're in dire straits? We have to do this massive implementation of this new limit thing because we're in dire straits. No one else is seeing it but the fly rod fishermen. It sounds to me like, you know, they're after their own agenda. Louisiana is not a great fly fishing spot to start with. We don't have the type of water Florida and the other places have. You know, they're not going to catch the fish we catch. They're complaining, oh, we didn't catch the fish. Well, guess what? All the fish were in the river the last 2 years. They're not out on the flats. They're all out in deep water. So they're all getting all worried, oh, we've decimated the redfish. You talk to any charter captain that fishes with a rod reel instead of a fly rod, there's been absolutely no problem whatsoever. So I'm not seeing it. I say we go with a 4 redfish, take away the guide limit, and take away the bull red. This whole thing would already be over if that was what they proposed. And I think that's more than enough, and I think that's not asking too much, so stick with that. That's all I got to say about it.
Thank you. Stephen Cratty, C-R-A-T-T-Y, or Cavity, C-A-C-V-A-T-T-Y?
Mr. Chairman, while he's making his way up, may I just make a comment regarding decorum and,
yes,
and
please.
Procedure? So, ladies and gentlemen, everybody has an opportunity to make a comment. Whether you support or oppose it, the way to show that is through a comment up at this table. Please refrain from clapping, cheering, and also please direct your comments to the commission, not to members of the audience. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Mr. Stephen.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Wait, it's still morning, actually. Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Stephen Cratty, Louisiana resident. I've been here for, this is now my 4th meeting. And besides the numbers and the science, so on and so forth, which people want to believe or don't believe, there's nothing really that I can do about it. But you have seen a trend and support for conservation. When we start to mince the numbers, 3 fish, 4 fish, so on and so forth, we have always seen more support for more aggressive conservation. Let's just realize that. Ignore the numbers, because in one form or fashion, we can all say that we support the science, things like that. And in a general sense, the base summary of anything contrary to any sort of scientific proof and data basically sums to or no. And there's nothing that we can do to any in any form or fashion change one person's mind in that regard. But just look at the public support from different demographics of people. And I would just like for you all to consider that. I support the 3 fish limit. Thank you for your time.
Keith Bergeron.
Good morning, guys. Mr. Ron Price hit the nail on the head. He's always got a voice on social media. And he's definitely hit the nail on the head. I'm 65 years old. Born and raised in Louisiana. Been here all my life fishing since I'm a kid. Redfish, they come and go. They thrive in the marsh and they feed on small fish. You will catch them in one spot. You move around, you just don't see none for a while. You'll move around, you'll catch more. You just got to look for fish. You got to know how to read the water. It's not just go out there and throw a hook in the water and stay there all day. You got to move around. I'm totally for the 4 fish. I don't have a problem with that at all. Been guiding in Grand Isle for 20 years. The past 2 years, since they all pushed them pogie boats off the beach, we've had an influx of rat reds It's unbelievable. You can sit in one spot and catch 30 to 50 rat reds, 15 inches long, all along the coast. So that tells me right there, the big fish are producing babies and they're coming. It's coming. It's like Ron was saying, we're having an influx of baby redfish coming. But you guys, you have all the science. I believe most of these guides in here are scientists and biologists. They see it every day. So for us to take a hit down to three fish, you're just cutting back on people coming to Louisiana to fish. We got a lot of out-of-state people that come to Louisiana because they can keep fish here. So we cut that back. They already cut the trout. We throw in 13-inch and below trout back that the dolphin are eating. They dying because somebody grabbed it with a rag. So we losing a lot of trout already. Redfish, I think we ought to keep it at 18 to 27. If you want to do four, that's fine. No guide limit. We're going to cut something. That's all I got.
Thank you. Nick Jones.
Commissioners, thank you guys for having us all here today. You know, my name is Nick Jones. I'm a retired guide myself. And I'm also an out-of-stater. I come here to Louisiana because this is the best redfish fishery in the world. I love to keep fish. I also release them from time to time. I'm going to spare you guys speaking at length about what the science says. You guys have heard that. You guys have the numbers right behind you. Also, nothing has changed since the last meeting, which I flew in from Minnesota to speak at in November. At that oversight committee, I heard legislators express their desire to protect this fishery, but also thought that the previous NOI went a bit too far. Well, many didn't agree with that as it further delayed the rebuilding timeline. However, the decision was made to expand the slot to ensure that everybody could still fill their limits. The three fish limit with the 18 to 27 inch slot is the compromise, and it prioritizes the faster rebound of this historic fishery. So I was here last year for a trip. I'm here this week fishing the whole week down in Hopedale, and I've already booked my trip to come back in August. This place is in my DNA. I love it here. It's unbelievable. You guys truly have one of the most special fisheries in the world. So I live in Minnesota, and I spend more money here fishing than I care to admit to my girlfriend for fear that she's going to break up with me. And that's the honest to God truth. This is the best place on the planet to come fish for redfish. I really hope that you guys prioritize conserving them so that even with the increased fishing pressure and even with the myriad of different environmental factors that can affect this fishery, that it will quickly rebound and thrive for all of us to enjoy for many years to come. Thank you, guys.
Cody Rubner?
Good morning, Commissioners. Captain Cody Rubner here from Southeast Florida. And admittedly, when I flew out to speak at the Oversight Committee hearing last year, I had a little bit of a reservation about my role and the role of my voice in this conversation. Now, I've got a background in fisheries, but I also got a lot of respect for the resource you guys have here and the history all of you guys have here with it. The campaign against more conservation at the time was kind of bundled up as a bunch of fly guides and out-of-staters, and it almost sounded like a detriment to the value of my voice. But then I sat there and I listened to dozens and dozens and dozens of public comments about how businesses would be at risk if people couldn't keep more fish, because that's why out-of-staters come here. So that kind of reaffirmed, I guess, do out-of-state voices do matter. And so that's why I'm here today to speak again. One of the toughest parts about this conversation is seeing the role of science change. Science is a process. It's not a definitive answer. And let it be made record for everyone here today, the burden of decision lies on fisheries managers and legislators. The science here, everyone is tooted the horn of the scientists here. They're fantastic. You guys have a wealth of data, but the decision lies on fisheries managers. It's not appropriate to pick and choose when data and science and those processes might be valid and when they might not be valid, depending on your agenda. It's your guys' jobs to interpret that, make decisions based off conservation of the resource and also the will of the people. We have, 100 people here of varying backgrounds and opinions on the fishery. And I appreciate and respect that all of them are here taking their time to do so. It's your guys' role to make a decision based on the will of the people. You're seeing more and more of fisheries management around the country that managers are almost rightfully so, I'd agree, going away from form letters. You know, you guys want to see people show up. You guys want to see people explain who they are and write out their history with the fishery to validate their point and opinion on the fishery. You don't want to see people just click a button and start to count that as, the value of a valued public comment. If you look at that public comment total, it's about 150 to 160-ish, relatively 50-50. If you take out form letters, copy and paste public comments, it's 120 to 40. So it's your guys' decision based on how much you want to weight public comment based off form letters, but we're seeing managers around the country go away from that. And that is something I wanted to call out here today. And the last thing I'll leave you with is quote. It's one of my favorite quotes. We don't inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children. But when you push rebuilding timelines out to 20 to 30 years, you're actually borrowing it from their children. So I support the three fish limit, support more conservation, make the right decision. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. Andrew Messenger.
How y'all doing? Andrew Messenger. I've been here at all these meetings and I've been trying to tell y'all that the redfish are coming back. We've been seeing them since they were little and they're getting to be slot size now. And you're hearing reports down in Venice, they're growing a little quicker down there and everyone's catching them. Hurt down there said in Grand Isle, they're catching them. The redfish are coming back, guys. We had a bad couple years with the hurricanes. We had bad years with the river, but everything is lining up now. We're having great fish out there. If you talk to these guys that want to reduce it down to three, none of their customers are coming over here to keep fish. They've built their business on letting fish go. 90% of all the other guys out here have their customers keep fish. They're not coming from Alabama or Florida where they can go and keep the same amount of redfish over there to spend their money in Louisiana and give us charter guides their money to keep the same amount of fish. I think if we reduce it down to three, we're going to kill our tourism and it'll kill our personal businesses. Thank y'all.
Thank you. Drew White.
My name is Lance West. I fish in the Cocodrie area. And my biggest thing to come to this meeting, I'm sorry I got here a little late and I didn't hear no one yet say anything about over keeping a red over 27 inches. I mean, I know y'all going from 18 to 27. I got customers. I'm a charter guide. They do come here, like that man just said, to keep fish. I mean, what's the difference in the 27 inch fish to 33 inches? He's still good eating. So my biggest thing is don't take away the bull reds. I have tournaments for kids and ain't nothing like seeing a 6, 7, 8 year old kid walk up with a 30-inch redfish to win him a trophy. A lot of people, it don't mean nothing to them, but these kids, it does. And that's my biggest thing is I think if you're going to go down to three, let us keep one over 27 inches. If a man's bow fishing and he shoots a 28-inch red, what's the lifespan of it? So that's all I'd want to talk about is for the tournaments in Louisiana, like Grand Isle, has all kind of redfish rodeos. And if you go 27 and under, you're going to hurt a lot of people. And for the guides, we need to let people keep 28, 30 inch fish. I talk most of my people when we catch 38 to 40 inch reds, throwing them back. I'd say 50 to 60% of my customers don't want to keep them. So let people have that choice. If they want to catch one big one and keep it, to eat, let them have it. So thank you.
Thank you. Nick Elzer, Elzer John.
My name's Nick Elsonson. I'm born and raised in St. Bernard Parish. Caught my first redfish when I was 4 years old. I am 43 now. I'm a bow fishing charter captain. My got twin girls, they're 21. They've been shooting bow since they were able to pull them back. We wouldn't be here today. Long story short, if y'all would have just changed it to three fish, four fish, we probably wouldn't even showed up. The size is going to cripple us, our business, and it's going to cripple pretty much people coming here, traveling here, people who live here, even living in Baton Rouge, to drive to the coast to catch fish, because you're keeping less fish and less chance of getting your bag limit. I'm okay with three. I'm okay with four. But the size, I just don't agree with it. And many people that ain't here today to speak because they have jobs or are against us. It's not just the people that show up here to speak. There's thousands and thousands of other people that are out there that are not for the sizes. That's it. Thank you all.
Thank you. William Lowe.
Commissioners, I'm William Lowe. I was born in North Louisiana, grew up pond fishing. Finally got to go to Saline Lake, and then we got to go to Black Lake, and then we got to go all the way to Toledo Bend. And then I came to LSU and then started fishing in the marsh and really quit fishing for freshwater fish, and I've fished in the salt marsh the rest of my life. I'm 69 years old, and as a guy who has spent literally thousands and thousands of dollars on guides and fishing trips, I think people would rather come to Louisiana and catch 25 or 30 fish. I think people come to get the bite and to get the fight, not necessarily to throw them in an ice chest. And if I'm going to keep spending money, I want to get a lot of bites and maybe put three fish in the ice chest. I think to come down and get seven bites and keep five is what we're looking at. And I think the joy that all of these guides are giving to their anglers is the joy of catching a fish, not the joy of killing them. So I strongly support the three fish limit and let them come back. We can come back to this and change it upwards if we want to, but we need to do something to make to change the curve, in my opinion. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Terry Brown.
Terry Brown, I'm 52 years old from Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana. Been fishing it my whole life. I am a bow fishing guy and I also do bull red trips. First of all, I'm not embarrassed about y'all at all. Okay. So guy who says he's embarrassed, that's pretty pathetic. These guys behind us hired their own guy who's a fly fishing guy to give you his data on what they think should be done. Basically, he said our guys from Louisiana, our wildlife and fisheries, they're not true. You know, their stuff up there is wrong. Most of these guys ain't from the state of Louisiana, you know. Most of the guys back in this no fish and all this ain't from the state of Louisiana. Their income don't pay no taxes here. They bring it back to their states. I do bow fishing guided trips for 13 years and also do bull red trips. When these guys say the fish are coming back, they back. I can go at night and show you 200 redfish on a good night. I can go in on a good night and show you these 6-8 inch redfish that's next year could be size limits. I can show you tons of them. Or I could put you in my boat and go down do large the next day and in 3 hours catch 75 bull reds on fishing poles. Every day. We had a trip Saturday, three lines at a time for 4 hours straight until our guy said, no more. They caught 75 bull reds in 3 hours. And these guys back here said they can't catch one a day. Maybe they need to hire you guy to teach them how to fish or something. I don't know. But I know this. I've been fishing all my life. I got 8 grandkids. And all these guys talking about grandkids, my grandkids could go tomorrow and catch as many redfish or in 20 years go catch just as many. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeffrey Raines.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Raines. I'm here to endorse the NOI as was originally stated, but especially the three fish bag limit. To me, it seems like the science and the numbers that we're seeing from the biologists are clear and compelling, and the choice you guys make today should reflect that. I don't want to see anyone's businesses affected badly. That's not why I'm here. I'm just here because we're at an inflection point in this fishery where it could either improve or we could just see the slow decline that I think a lot of people are seeing in this room. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Lewin Chu, Chow.
Good morning. Thank you, commissioners, for giving me an opportunity to speak to you today. So I'm an out-of-towner. I'm from New York. I'm actually here on vacation for a week with my son and my best friend. And I'm taking today off, even though we've had some bad weather and we have some bad weather coming up, instead of fishing to talk to you in support of the three fish limit and stronger redfish management here in Louisiana in general. I've been a fisherman for as long as I can remember. All the pictures of me when I was a little kid are with a little, you know, Zebco all in one out there fishing. I grew up fishing for redfish actually in Florida. And, you know, I usually now take one or two fishing trips a year. It's the thing I look forward to the most, and it's particularly the one that I get to take my son on. On this trip alone, I'll probably spend $10,000 in this economy. That doesn't even include flights and other stuff, but just on the great food, on the great guides here, on your hotels. And, you know, the big attraction is redfish. And I'm not a bait fisherman. I don't want to sit there in a hole catching a dozen fish necessarily. I'd much rather stalk fish and sight fish for them. And there's no better place in the world to do that than here. And that's an incredible gift, something I really, really love. But I will tell you, having fished angling destinations across the world, I see the same thing again and again and again. So it's interesting that, you know, folks say the redfish capital of the world. Well, I fished for 15 years down in the Florida Keys, and at that time, it was the bonefish capital of the world. And since then, you can barely find a bonefish in southern Florida. As I mentioned, I grew up fishing redfish on the Gulf Coast of Florida. I fished out of Fort Myers and Sanibel and Pine Island Sound, Mount Lachey, for 25 years. And I saw that fishery go steadily downhill, and I don't spend my money there anymore. It's just not worth my time. Same thing in New York. I'm from New York. I've seen striped bass completely plummet. And, you know, we had this very strong menhaden regulations over the last few years. So we've seen a preponderance of menhaden in our near and inshore waters. And we've had the worst 5 years of striped bass recruitment as long as we've kept history of juvenile recruitment. So I've seen this I've been in hearings like this in states across the country, and it's always the exact same story. And I've never seen too much management. I've never seen the fish come back explosively unless there was strong management. And I really urge you folks to do the right thing. I don't have a voting interest in the state the way that you do, but this is where I choose to spend my money. And I'd like to be able to take my kids and have my kids take their kids here and have this really be the capital of redfish forever and ever. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ron Ratliff.
Good morning, gentlemen. I've spoken about legacy. I've spoken about being held accountable. Both are very important in this decision. This commission has a duty to conserve our fishery, not only today as a resource, but for the future and our children and their children. We live in a place blessed with one of the most robust ecosystems in the country. And it is not something that is easy to get back once we have lost it. Sorry, I'm a terrible reader. I talk a lot better though. I'll stand here for myself as a guide and fellow anglers and recreational anglers today. But also for the future, I just found out this week I'm going to be a grandfather. I mean, I want my grandkid to be able to see what I saw growing up. Cocodrie native, I saw it great. My mentor, Blaine Townsend, was the fishing guide for 40 years. He retired 2 years ago because he couldn't do what he used to. I'm here for the long run. I'm going to be here forever regardless. I want to see this fishery come back to what it was before it went down. I want to see it what it was when I was a child. As for someone said about hatchery fish, we have a great, amazing, strong gene pool. Let's not piss in it. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you.
I'll support the three fish limb.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Next, we have Ms. Rebecca Trish.
Good morning, commissioners. I did send you a message on behalf of Louisiana Wildlife Federation. I want to say just a few of those points to all the people who are listening, because I'm certain that there are a lot of people listening, because you've gotten a lot of messages and phone calls, and we've heard some of this testimony several times over the last year. I know you've wrestled with some of the notice declines in our fisheries, especially sport fish. And some of you have heard that, and some of you are new. The amended notice of intent is so close to the end. You've gotten it to the finish line. It's really difficult to understand why you're not approving your own process that you've participated in. I know that there were hundreds of messages sent to the governor to overturn the oversight committee's pushback on the original notice of intent. It seems like we should have sent all of those messages to you, because it is interesting to see that after this process, and where all you have to do is approve it, and this could be published after March 20th, that you're not doing that. We can't control the weather. We can't predict it. We don't know. The estuaries are, it's in a coastal master plan. They're in a state of deterioration and loss. We heard Jason Adrians talk about how much of the reproductive cycle is taking place in the marsh and at a certain size limit. That is what all of this is about. We can't change those in the short term. All you can do is change how we are removing the resource from the system, and in a negative way. We're just hitting them too hard. People have told you that they're witnessing a decline. Some people say in my side of the pond, there's a bunch of fish. That's anecdotal. And we have to follow the science and evidence to do fisheries management properly. And that's what you're a part of. I'm glad you're taking some kind of action. At least that is an acknowledgement that there is a decline. Appreciate the ones who say, I don't even believe there is a decline. And what few of them have said, don't even make a change, but at least you're adopting something. And that's some hope. I just hope that the commissioners after you aren't dealing with a worse problem. I mean, that's all that we, right now, is what we can hope for, is that the steps that you're taking, knowing what you know, is putting us on the right track in the right timeline, knowing that this is really the part that we can control as a part of fisheries management. So I really do urge you. We had more responses to the more restrictive notice of intent amongst our members and supporters, but I know that they would want you to accept this modified notice of intent and not continue to stretch out the recovery. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Richard Fisher.
Right. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. I'm really enjoying this Fisheries and Wildlife Commission meeting. Let's do this more often. Richard Fisher, I'm the CEO of the Louisiana Charter Boat Association. Thank you all for allowing me to speak. First of all, I want to thank the commission, thank the department, thank the legislature, and thank our charter captains for coming in such force and speaking on all sides of the issue. That's the passion that keeps our industry thriving. And I really appreciate each and every one of y'all for coming here today. We are a democracy as the Louisiana Charter Boat Association. So we put out surveys to gauge the thoughts of our captains on redfish, as well as a host of all other subjects here recently. So I'll go ahead and very briefly present to you guys some of the results of that survey. And that, of course, is going to guide how I go ahead and speak here today. So we had 101 captains take our redfish survey. The big number that's kind of eye-popping to me was that they were 70-23 in favor of the four fish option instead of the three fish option. So based off of that, I am here on behalf of the Louisiana Charter Boat Association to speak in favor of the four fish option. And I know that's going to make a lot of charter captains, not only in this room, but listening at home, not very happy with me, but, you know, majority rules. And I do have to reiterate that we only put options in our surveys that biologists tell us are scientifically responsible. This four redfish option has been the department's recommendation now twice under two governors. So this is a scientifically responsible option, and I just absolutely needed to reiterate that. As for the guides limits piece of this, 65% are in favor of banning the guides limits, so we would support that. 68% are in favor of banning bull red, so we're in support of that as well. And there's also overwhelming majorities in favor of putting some sort of scientific threshold sunset in place so that years down the line, we kind of reassess what's happening and decide if we got to do more or if we got to do less. Just want to thank everybody for participating in the process, and I'm happy to answer any questions anyone might have.
Mr. Cresson from CCA.
Hey, good morning, commissioners. David Cresson from the Coastal Conservation Association of Louisiana. I'll be brief this morning. I want to echo what my friend Richard from the Charter Boat Association said, that this is a contentious issue. Certainly respect and appreciate everybody's opinion on this, and understand that you have a difficult decision to make. But the Coastal Conservation Association supports the department's recommendation. We did in July, we do today, of four fish, 18 to 27, no bulls, and the guide limit as well. So that is really all I have. I just want to let you know that. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer. Thank you.
Not sure I can find them this quickly, but I understand, is it Ricky Savoy or Nick Savoy? Nick and Chad, my apologies. I don't see the one for Chad, but I found.
Thank you for having us. I'm listening to all the comments because last two guides talked basically, and I'm still baffled where they're looking to fish at, because I've been guiding for 35 years. I'm from South Louisiana, Leeville, the Golden Meadow area, 35-year full-time guide, 20-year tournament angler. And being a tournament angler, I get to travel from Florida to Texas back and forth and see their fisheries and see how much their fisheries are different from ours. And every year when I come back to fish my fishery, I still see how strong it is. I mean, the video's in my back pocket of a few weeks ago, just going through certain flats and looking at schools of 10 to 15 different schools. But my partner and I just got to come right behind me that we literally fished through for 5 hours and seen over 5,000, 6,000 redfish in different little schools in less than 2 feet of water. And we pretty much do that everywhere as we travel in South Louisiana, whether it's Delacroix, whether it's Hopedale, whether it's Venice, Golden Meadow, all the way to Lake Charles, either section. It's the same amount. And then the numbers of bulls that we're literally catching every day guiding for speckled trout, and we're not even looking for them, are showing the numbers of mature crop that's out there. That's 35 miles north into Golden Meadow. When you're supposed to be right now traveling south to spawn, or maybe September, August, traveling south to spawn, but it's still in Golden Meadow. So are they missing that crop, or the data's not catching that other million bulls that are sitting in Golden Meadow in 3 feet of water? I'm questioning where they're getting the data from, where they're looking at, how are they finding this assessment of where they're at? The numbers are there. I'm fully in favor of y'all passing the motion you have right now for redfish, 18 to 27, eliminating the bulls, fine with me. Eliminating our guide package is fine to me, and move on forward. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Captain Nicky Sapwa. I'm also from down the bayou. We fish a lot of area, like Chad said. We fish from Florida all the way to Texas in certain tournaments and whatnot. And we are fully in favor of four fish limit. We are fully in favor of nothing over 27. And we in favor of also the 18 to 27. I think it's a middle ground that we have come to against all this other, whatever they want to go do with three fish. I mean, you're already taking five fish from the guide. You're taking a fish away from everybody else that's in your boat on your charter. That's a lot of fish taken from your customers. Y'all may not see it. We see it, and they can complain about it. We can complain about it. Y'all do the right thing. Y'all know what y'all need to do. I mean, we put y'all in this position for something. The science is the science. They can complain about the science. Like somebody got up here and said something about bonefish, a decline of bonefish. I don't know anybody that eats bonefish.
Sorry, it said you didn't want to speak, but you're more than welcome.
That's okay. Thank you. Yeah, my name is Michael Leishman. I just wanted to say I'm from Covington. I fish a lot in St. Bernard Parish and Blackman's Parish. I'm in support of the NOI and the three fish. I just wanted to come out here and show my support for that. And thank y'all for y'all's decision. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And I also wanted to give him the benefit of having maybe an extra minute or two, if that's what he so needed. And that's Mr. Al Cinceri, a former commissioner for Wildlife and Fisheries. Please come forward.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. I appreciate y'all guys allowing me to come up and speak here today. You know, I'm a lifelong resident of Louisiana. I grew up in New Orleans fishing Lake Pontchartrain. We had a place in Hopedale. I'm in the oyster business, as well as in Plaquemines and Jefferson Parish. We had camps out there that we fished all the time. I was fortunate. I'm an old man now. We used to catch all redfish and speckled trout we wanted. There weren't any limits. You know, and over my lifetime, I've seen that go down dramatically. And one of the things as a commissioner, when we started discussing these recreational limits, which are tough because, you know, I want to catch as much fish as I can because I like eating them. You know, catching isn't as much as what it is to be able to eat the fish. But you have to realize that the fishery has been in decline. You know, we've seen it. You know, we have environmental conditions that we can't control that have impacted the fisheries. If it's fresh water or if it's freezes, you know, we have diversions. We have, you know, Carnarvon's getting ready to open up full blast. Davis Pond, probably the same thing. Those are going to have impacts. You know, we're fortunate the last couple of years we've had low rivers. You know, and that has given us a false sense of the fish coming back fully. And look, I'm thrilled. Oysters are coming back like they haven't done in 15 years. You know, I've seen what's going on. We have had an impact that's positive for fisheries, saltwater brackish fisheries in our state. But I would ask the commission to reconsider. I know you guys have a motion on the floor and that y'all have not voted yet on it, but I would ask that y'all reconsider to go back to our previous notice of intent that we passed a few months ago, because I think that's the appropriate action that we should take to have fish for the future, for our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. I'm all in favor of sunsetting if things look like they're changing, but that's something that this commission and future commissions can address later. But today I'm gonna ask y'all to please reconsider the motion that y'all have on the floor to go back to the NOI that we've discussed and vote in favor of the that particular notice of intent. Thank you all very much.
What you just heard was the public comment period at the commission meeting last week discussing the new NOI and modifying the NOI for redfish management. And the decision that came out of that meeting was to go in opposition to the majority of the public comment at this meeting and to go with the four fish limit. And what this four fish limit includes is the removal of an overslot, the removal of bull red harvest legally, and it also removes the guide limit, which allows an extra limit in the boat for the guide. So there would be a reduction. That reduction is only about 6% greater than the bare minimum 30%, that if you do a 30% reduction, you literally never get back to target. And so we are a little bit disappointed with the outcome. There's a couple months that this is going to be extended now as a new NOI, and there's more to come and more discussion with our team, with the guides and the other major stakeholders down in Louisiana. But what we wanted to take this episode and do was focus on this public comment period, let you guys hear it, experience it if you couldn't be there, and look for future content pieces later this week and in weeks to come about management for redfish in Louisiana. Once again, thank you so much for listening this far. We are extremely overwhelmed and honored by how many people are so committed to these fights and willing to spend hours and hours of their time listening, reading, writing, and participating. So more to come on Redfish in Louisiana. Thank you very much.